Blog Talk Radio.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain. Woo! To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power.
Come on.
In the name of Jesus.
Come on, you declare it.
There is power.
There is power.
There is power
in the name.
In the name of Jesus.
We know where it is to break
every chain.
Break every chain.
Break every chain.
Come on, say it.
Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
There's an arm.
There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up, yeah. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain.
I pray that song was able to minister to your heart on today. How many know that the chains will be broken? Hallelujah. We bless the Lord today. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad therein. I'm just so happy to see Elder McCoy on the line today with us. God bless you, man of God. God bless you, man of God. So good to see you. Amen, amen. We thank you for tuning in once again to listen to A Time of Reflection with New Destiny Ministries. Of course, you know we're on this radio broadcast Monday through Friday at 1 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 p.m. Central Time, and 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we're here to just encourage and inspire and enhance and uplift and empower you to continue to pursue your destiny in Christ Jesus. We have been talking for, this is our second week with this series, and the subject matter is going through with purpose. I know everybody's going through something. Ah, and if you're not going through anything, hey, we need to be like the two witnesses. God ought to translate us on out of this world. So we all are going through. But just know if we have a purpose, then the going through is a little more bearable. Amen? It's bearable when you're going through, and especially when you know that you can't fail, because you are in Christ Jesus. And the only limitations we have is how we put the limits on ourselves. But when we take the limits off God, we know that there's nothing too hard for him. So we're excited about this series, and we're also excited about the prolific, profound, anointed, powerful man of God that's going to be ministering the word for us on today, and that's none other than Bishop Jesse E. Grant, Sr. And we just love this man of God. We love his spirit, and we love how he loved the people of God. Amen, amen. So at this time, I'm going to ask, see Sister Kim on the line also. Oh, see Evangelist Cummins on the line. God bless you, woman of God, out of Los Angeles. Amen, amen. Sister Kim, God bless you. Amen. We're going to ask Elder McCall. We're going to ask Elder McCall to open us up with the word of prayer, and then we're going to go right on into this segment, and we're going to bring up our speaker for the evening. So, Elder McCall, God bless you. Are you able to open up with the word of prayer?
Yes, ma'am.
Amen, amen. We miss you. So good to see you on the line today.
Glad to be on the line and give glory to God and honor and power to his name. So we're going to get ready to go to the word of prayer for this radio broadcast. Gracious Father, we thank you today. And Father, we come to you, God, as only the God that we can come to. Because you're the God of glory. You're the God that's able to do exceedingly abundantly what we may ask or think. So, Father, we'll come to you right now, God, knowing that you're going to send your power through this broadcast, oh, God, that your word may be powerful, oh, God, and go forth in demonstration. God, and we'll thank you for it, and we'll give you praise. And, God, we pray for everyone on the line today. God, whatever need that they have, oh, God, that need would be met, oh, God, according to your riches and glory. God, for we know that the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. Now, God, send your blessings upon your people, God, for this hour, and we'll thank you and give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray and we say amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Elder McCall. We certainly bless the Lord for that opening prayer. And I tell you, this anointed man of God, we met him through Facebook, and this is not his first time ministering on this radio broadcast. We just have embraced him as our own. Hey, and the Bible say, know them that labor among you. So we're just so happy to have Bishop Grant with us this evening. Bishop Grant is the pastor of Tabernacle of Faithful Gospel Baptist Church in Evanston, Illinois. He is a husband, he is a father of two, and he is also a grandfather, and I tell you, we love him. He posts so many encouraging words on Facebook, and you know he has a little moniker where he just, well, really a little motto I call him, where he said this is the bishop just talking out loud. So we love Bishop Grant, and we're just so happy to have him back with us today. So with no further ado, we'd like to present to some and introduce to others our speaker for this hour, none other than Bishop Jesse E. Grant, Sr. Amen. God bless you, Bishop.
God bless you, Evangelist Bernard. It's certainly, again, a pleasure and also a very humbling time for me and experience for me to be able to share with you once again. I'm so grateful to God that he has allowed us this opportunity to encounter one another and to have this kinship and fellowship and friendship that has been established, even via Facebook. I certainly am very grateful for it. Before I kind of jump into everything, I want to say to all of you who are sharing with us on today, to all the members of the Ecclesiastical Presbytery, all of you that are listening, and my brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, and perhaps those of you that have not come to know him in the power of his resurrections, nor in the power of our sins. But I'm grateful again to be able to share with you on today. I'm excited. I shall never forget my niece when she was extremely young. She became so excited about something that had transpired in her life, and she was visiting her grandmother, which was my mom, and she ran out of the bedroom and she ran into the living room and she says, Grandma, I am just so excited, I don't know what to do. So in her excitement, she was not able to enunciate the word excitement. So I'm just excited today over the fact, I'll share this with you, on last evening, my wife and I were blessed with the news that our newly born granddaughter, who was a premature birth, was released from the hospital after nearly 3 months and was finally sent home. And so we had the grand pleasure and the joy and the splendor of being able to be there with her on last evening. And I've already set and engaged a process wherein I'm going to spoil her rotten. The plan has been activated. When I went into my son's and his lovely wife's home on last evening, my wife and I and my daughter and my other two grandsons were present there. They beat me there. And so when I came in, there were other members of her family in there. And I said, okay, everybody has to stop. I have to take charge of the situation now. Let the process begin. So I had to reach and grab her and hold her and embrace her so that everybody could understand that I mean business. I'm going to spoil her. So y'all pray for me and you pray for her and certainly for her parents, because when I get through spoiling her, they'll have to deal with it. But again, we're grateful. We're just simply grateful and excited about all that God has done in her life. She was actually scheduled to be born on July the 22nd, but she opted to come here a tad bit earlier. She made her arrival at 3:01 in the morning of May the 13th, and she's doing wonderful. There are no problems. There are no disabilities, none whatsoever. So I'm just waiting to get my opportunity to bring her into my home and spoil her and all of that. We even had a room in the house redesigned especially for her. So let's get into things today. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Father, it's in the precious name of Jesus. We seek you now while you may be found. We call upon you while you're yet near. We are eternally grateful, O God, for this invite, for this opportunity to share this thy word with these thy precious people. We thank you for the host, O God, Evangelist Bernard, for allowing us the invitation and the opportunity to come and to share what you would have us to hear. Your word reminds us in the book of Revelations, he that have an ear to hear, let them hear what the Spirit has to say unto the church. So, God, I pray now that you orchestrate my thinking, that you process my ability to be able to effectuate thy word with simplicity and clarity, and so that the hearer may be able to partake, to receive, and to conceive that which he would have to be imparted unto us. This we do ask, believing that it shall be done. Now, Satan, you be horrified. God is going to be glorified, and we pray that your people be edified. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as I understand it, Evangelist Bernard, that your subject matter for a couple of weeks now has been going through with purpose. Because I have not had an opportunity to listen in prior to today, I'm just going to kind of go in the vein in which the Lord has led me and inspired me to embark upon your subject matter. When I listen today in Christendom, there is a tremendous amount of discussion, deliberation over two terminologies. One equates itself to some degree with the other, and that is destiny and purpose. Clearly, it needs to be established, even the more so from where I sit, to bring a greater sense of clarity. I'm not saying that I have all the answers, but I would like to at least think that I have a little bit to lend to the clarity processes wherein all of us as believers need to fully engage, so that we come to a place and a posture in our walk with the Lord to understand the sufficiency of his grace, fully comprehending, fully understanding what our purpose is in life. This question of purpose, why am I here? What am I to do while I'm here as human beings? We've often raised that question. It's not something new on the rise. It may sound new because it seems to be something that has infused itself within Christendom or in the house of God in our local churches today that 10, 20, 30 years ago was not on the forefront to the extent and the magnitude in which it is now. Having said all of that, so it sounds kind of new. Anything that's new always is challenged. Sometimes the challenges are critical, and sometimes there are constructive criticisms as well as as unconstructive criticisms that's lent to it. So let's try and see if all of us can be helped with the understanding that this is not just a new question. Throughout the ages, since the very beginning of time, the quandary, the question has been raised, what's my purpose? Why am I here? What is it that I'm to do? Subsequently, in trying to answer that question individually as well as corporatively, as well as it relates to generational thinking, every generation has asked that every person born under the face of the sun poses that question, why am I here? What is my purpose? What am I to do? What am I to fulfill? Subsequently, in trying to ascertain that, understand it, comprehend it, and come up with a resolve, come up with a conclusion that would lend itself to some kind of wisdom that we can embark upon and say, okay, now I fully get it. I understand why I'm here. But again, let's examine that. We must, as the believers, in order to fully understand our purpose, we have to understand who our Creator is. In order to really understand one's purpose, one's fulfillment, one's duty, obligation here on planet Earth, we have to now acquaint ourselves with our Creator, which is God, the God that rules the heavens and the earth, the creators of the ends of the universe. the one that faileth not, the one who has orchestrated in his ingenious structure. He has a purpose, a plan, a destiny, as it were, for every creative being on the face of the planet. Everybody's purpose differs one from another. One is called to be a baker, another is called to be a fisherman, etc. One is called to be a fire chief, a policeman, whatever. These are the entitlements. These are our assignments, a pastor, an evangelist, a prophet, a bishop, an apostle, a teacher. All of these are giftings that have been introduced into the body of Christ for the perfecting of the saints. Let me slow it down because y'all know me by now. I have a tendency to speak extremely fast. What we need to fully engage here in our thinking, again, let's go back. God has created us for a purpose. We're not going to ever discover that purpose until we discover God, until we are inclined to engage in a relationship with him. The problem that I see from where I sit oftentimes, the difference between the child of God, the kingdom dweller, the joint heir to the throne of grace, versus the individual who simply attends church, who goes habitually. That's what they were raised. They were raised to go to church, and so they go. They can tend to interact with the things that the church has presented. But sometimes the critical thing that is missed is how to establish a relationship with the Creator, the one who created us. And out of that relationship, we now discover who God in actuality is. He is, again, the creator of the ends of the universe. So if we understand why he has created us, and the understanding or the ascertaining of that understanding has to come through the relationship we have with him. We have to be established in him. He has to be established in us. We have to come to a place of resolve. How do I get to know him? There are several ways. One, we get to know God through his word. We get to know God through the interaction of prayer. Prayer presents us to God. It creates an opportunity for us to dialogue with him. We become acquainted with him, again, through his word. If an individual is not going to take the necessary essential time that is essential and mandated and becomes quite demanding, as it were. I'll get back to that word in a minute. It's necessary for us to engage our Creator. We engage him again through his word. We read his word. We get some kind of concept of who he is. We look at him historically. We look at him in the Old Testament. We see him being concealed in the Old Testament and yet being revealed in the New. So we vacillate between the two commentaries, the Old Testament and the New. We discover how God has interacted with his creation. We get some glimpses. We get some understanding. We get some clarity of his purposes for creating us. But now we can simply look at that and say, okay, I have some idea about it, but I'm still not clear from an individual perspective. So in order for the perspective to be brought into proper perspective, one now has to, again, have a relationship with him. There has to be constant interaction with him. There has to be a constant communing with him. An abiding, as it were, with him. Again, he abides in us, we abide in him. So now, let's take it from this standpoint. Let me set the stage for how we have to engage this process. You're God, I'm me. I'm trying to get acquainted with you. I'm trying to discover who you are. So now your word gives me some characteristic views of who you are. but I must take it a little bit further. I need you to personally reveal to me who you are. I've heard Medea talk about you. I've heard the pastor preach about you. But again, I still don't know you. I simply know of you. And so I use the terminology know of by what has been told to me. But my perception of you, my concept of you, my revelation of you has to only come through the earnestness of your spirit. You have to reveal to me, not in my intellect, but in my spirit, because that's where God communes with his human creation. He has other means and measures, but his primary targeting comes through his communicating with our spirit. I think I've told the radio listening audience the last time that I was blessed to share with you that God has reserved a place within us that only he can occupy. And so we must now take down the sign that says room for rent. We must invite him in. When he comes in, now he sets up his abode within us, within our spirit man. So now it is from here that we're able to interact with him. It's now where we're able to engage him. It's now where we come into the reality of who he is in our individual lives. So now we move from what we've heard about him to what he reveals to us, again, through the earnestness of his spirit. He now begins to reveal himself to us. So it moves us now into a greater understanding, a greater posture, a greater position, a greater embracement and understanding of this God, who is the vast creator of this vast universe. So now we look at it in this sense that we are walking together, we're communing together, we have a relationship. So you know more about me than I ever could know about you. But you're willing to share you, this being God, you're willing to share you with me, and I am willing to share me with you. So let us walk this journey called life together. Let us understand each other. Again, you understand me far better than I understand myself, because you know my end from my beginning. You know you knew me before there was a when or a where. So now, since you have all of this information about me, now I must strive to get to know and understand who you are. I must search you out. I must seek you while you may be found. I must call upon you while you're yet near. So prayer brings me to a place where I can talk with you. And in talking with you, I also get to understand how you listen to me, how you identify with me, how you respond to what I have to say to you. I also understand that a conversation has to be two ways. I'm speaking, you're listening. You're speaking, I'm listening. So it becomes an adjoint affair. So now we sit, we talk, we dialogue. I'm discovering things about you, and I must use the word that Paul uses in the Greek language called epinosis, through practical experience. As I experience you in every aspect of my life, in this growing process of revelational knowledge of you, you begin bit by bit, you reveal yourself to me. In your revealing yourself to me, now we come to a quandary. We come to a place of Q&A, question and answers. I need to ask you why you created me. I need to ask you what my purpose is. How do I find out why I'm here? I have to now find out from you, because you are my creator. Because my confusion, autonomous or apart from you, my confusion has been in trying to discover who I am. So in my discovery mode, or in our discovery mode, we have a tendency to look at other human beings, and we see traits and qualities, distinctive things within the realm or the scope of their capacity and their capacity, their abilities. We look at that and say, I like that, so I want to be this. I want to be a little bit of that. We look at our parenting. We look at our mom, our dad, and say, okay, there's a part of my dad in me. There's a part of my mom in me. So now we're into what I like to call the discovery mode. We're not trying to figure out who I am. So maybe I'm like my mother. Maybe I'm like my father. Perhaps I'm more like his side of the family or more like her side of the family. So now we get caught up in that. We're trying to, again, discover who we are. We look in the mirror. We say, well, I favor this parent versus the other. I have this trait, this quality, this attribute. This is the part of who I've assessed myself to be. So now, again, in the discovery process, we now are engaged in a world, the world being planet Earth. We look at the things that surround us, and we look for those things to help us to identify who we are. So we look to the media. We look to the social, holistical society in which we live in and figure out, how do I fit in here? What's my mission? What's my goal here? How do I understand who I am? So again, I look at society and say, well, this is how I should structure my behavior. I look at the laws of the land and say, this is how I must govern my life. But again, the mystery still is hidden from us, because now we're trying to create ourselves and never really taking the adequate amount of time, energy, and effort to really consult with our Creator, because we are trying to create ourselves, because this is how we're programmed to be. This is how you ought to behave. This is what you ought to do. This is what you ought to obtain in life if you're going to be successful. So we look at those who are successful, and we try to mimic them. We try to interact with them. We try to buy their books and their concepts, their philosophical positions, and all of that. And we try to embrace that within the continuity of our own thinking, so that now I say, okay, I must be all right because I'm like someone else. But we're missing the whole thing. So let's go back now. God, you're in me, and I'm in you. And I still have not been able, out of all of my best efforts, to really understand my purpose. But now I'm drawn back to you. I must have this dialogue with you. I must interact with you as never before. Show me who you know that I am. Reveal it to me. Because I'm driving myself crazy. I'm duplicating. I'm mimicking. I'm being a carbon copy of someone else. And I'm not comfortable with that, because something within me that I have not been able to identify realistically and wholeheartedly as it relates to who I really am. I think that I'm okay because I behave a certain way, but something in me tells me you're not really okay. How do I become complete? How do I identify who I am? Again, we must consult. We must dialogue. We must have consistent conversation. Because again, God, I've read your word, and your word describes who you are. I've seen how you've interacted with people time before. But I now need to find my own identity. I need to discover from you. You need to impart unto me. You need to expand my intellect. You need to open me up, expose me to who I really am, and what my real purpose, what my mission, what my destined destiny has been orchestrated by you. the greatest thing that any of us and all of us need to contend with is trying to figure out from God who we are based upon his creative genius. You're the creator who best knows us better than the one who has created us. So we can miss it. We can become frail and feeble. We can miss it. We can go astray. We can be off track, as it were. We cannot be walking in the center of who he has created us to be if we don't consult him. So again, I want to bring us to a place of clarity that the best way to discover who we are as individuals in God, you have to consult with him. You have to, as the old saints, you have to lay prostrate before God. You have to agonize before God. You have to commune with him. You have to engage a wholesome, constructive, never-ending relationship with him. You cannot have a part-time relationship with your creator and expect to be fulfilled on a full-time basis. You have to give unto God that which is due his great name. You have to give him your time, your attention. You have to give him the essence of you. So in doing so, then God begins to, piece by piece, begins to reveal unto us one and all what our purpose is here in the planet Earth. One of the simplistic ways to help us all understand that, yes, we all have a purpose. But the main purpose, the most essential purpose that all of us have is to fulfill the will of God for our prospective lives, not to do it in the reverse fashion. Let's look at that, for example. Most times we are taught, set plans, make your plans, and then ask God to bless your plans. If God doesn't bless your plans, you're now angry with God, you're filled with anguish, you're filled with frustration and disappointment, and you're kind of upset with God because God didn't do it the way you wanted him to do it. But again, if he's our creator, then he must have a plan for us. We must now, again, ensue him to discover from him what his plan is for our lives, and then reverse our prayer process and say, okay, God, now that you're revealing to me who it is that I am and what my purpose, what my mission, what my aim is in life, what my objective is, which is an eternal objective, and what my real purpose is to glorify you here in the earth. So now as you begin to impart that, you begin to share that with me, you begin to divulge that to me, and it becomes crystal clear moment by moment, encounter by after encounter with you. I now discover who I am. I discover now you have a purpose. And so my purpose is not to be like anybody else. My purpose is to be like you've designed me to be. I don't have to become jealous and envious of others. I don't have to any longer feel insecure. Once you have your self-identification, once you understand that in spite of how I look, how I feel, how I sound, how I appear to be to others, I'm valuable to God. God has uniquely designed me to look the way I look, to be the height that I am, to be the weight that I am, to be the pigmentation of the coloring of my skin. He has set me in strategic places here in the earth to fulfill his will, not mine, but to fulfill his. So my purpose, number one, of why I'm here, created by God, is that he gets the glory out of all that I do here in the earth realm, so that he becomes recognized. He becomes the one who is glorified. He is now the one who is set above all the earth and recognized by all that will look unto him and discover he's God. He's God all by himself. He does not need our help to bring us and put us together. He's smart enough. He's genius enough He's creative enough. He has all of the facilitation, all of the instrumentation to produce us. So he's produced me. So now I'm becoming aware of who I am. This is to help somebody. So when you begin to now discover who God has made you, now you can abolish, you can abandon trying to be like everyone else. When you realize that God loved me enough before there was a when or a where, before I became a seed in the belly of my mother's womb. He had a plan orchestrated before the foundations of the world were established. He knew that the earth realm was going to need to receive a person in the personhood of Evangelist Bernard, and to all of us who are here. So now, as I look at that, I can appreciate, we all can appreciate who we are as individuals. But the greater thing to appreciate is who God has created you to be. Certainly, we can admire the gifts, the talents, and the skills and the abilities that others have, but you must discover your own. And discovering your own place in the earth, discovering God's unique design and purpose for you, now you can become more comfortable in discovering who you are in Him. And so now you don't have to mimic, you don't have to take on the traits, the characteristics, and the fundamentalities of others. I'm discovering who I am. I discover what I can do in God and what God can do in me. I'm now discovering that He loves me enough to have a purpose for me. He thinks very highly of me because He created me in His own image and His own likeness. So now perhaps I'm in a place where I can tear down my insecurities, because now I'm discovering that this God, the God of the creators of the end of the universe, has a purpose, a plan, orchestrated exclusively for me. He's custom made me. He's custom designed me. I'm not an afterthought. I'm a beforethought. It took God time to think about everything He wanted to do in me, through me, and by way of me. And so He sits skillfully and He orchestrates all of that. So now in my relationship with Him, He reveals, He constantly reveals to me, this is who I've made you to be. So you focus on you and you focus on me, and together we focus on one another. Don't be overly concerned about what I'm doing with someone else, but be gravely concerned about what I'm doing with you, through you, and by way of you. And the word of the Lord says it's in Him that we live, we move, and we have our being, our establishment, our creativity, our being able to have been created is by virtue of Him, not someone else. So now when we discover this is who I'm becoming, so I don't have to feel like I have to look like someone else. I don't have to talk like them. I don't have to dress like them. I don't have to behave like them. I don't have to have this world fashion me into what it thinks I ought to be, but I'm in this world understanding that God has a purpose for me. And so now I don't have to wear my hair the way you wear yours. I don't have to wear my shoes the way you wear yours. I don't have to live the way you live. I don't have to drive what you drive, because I understand whether I drive an Escalade, a Rolls Royce, a Bentley, or a Hooptieville, God still has a purpose for me. I'm somebody of significant value to God. I am someone. Now, when I say I am someone, let me be careful, because egotisticalness is a vexation to my spirit. I'm being transparent. It vexes me when I see people thinking more highly, Paul says, of themselves than they ought to think. There is a degree, yes, of confidence that we ought to have. Where does the confidence come from? My confidence comes in my relationship with God. And understand, I can be comfortable in the skin I'm in because, again, God has revealed to me who he has intended and purposed for me to be. So it's okay for me to be different than you. So I don't have to love me any more or any less than someone else, but I love me because God first loved me, and he has given me the ability to love me. And so I don't need you to love me. It's wonderful if you do, but I'm going to love me whether you love me or not, because, again, I'm loving the fact that God loves me, and God has designed me for his own glory. God. So now I'm excited, or one should become excited. One should become thrilled and even humbled in the fact that God has a purpose for little old me. So now I don't have to feel irrelevant. I don't have to feel insignificant. I don't have to feel devalued. I don't have to be the subject of someone else dehumiliating me and making me feel less than I know that I am. No, I can walk in the confidence that I'm God's creative design and his purpose that he has for my life. So now we move forward. We move forward in our relationship with God. And again, as I keep saying over and over again, we're still in a discovery mode. I'm discovering who I am, and I'm beginning to realize I can like me because I am God's unique design. Different as I may be from others, but I can look in the mirror and say, look at me. I'm God's unique design. I don't become arrogant by that. I just become grateful. I become grateful in the sense I now know unequivocally through his revealing to me, through our interactions, our engaging, that I am who God says I am. He shows me, he demonstrates to me that I have a purpose, that he's deposited, he's imparted, he's gifted me, he's enabled me to be his source of glory being revealed here in the earth. So I don't have to duplicate anybody else's gifts and talents. I don't have to preach like anybody else. I don't have to sing like anybody else. I don't have to pray like everybody else. I don't have to walk and talk and behave like everybody else, because I'm discovering who I am. So I can learn to like me. This is to help somebody learn to like you. Let's do away with all of this foolishness and nonsense about elaborating and deliberating over who don't like us. That's their problem. Sit somewhere and sit down, as the old folks say, and sit down and sit in a good seat in a good place in the presence of God and say, God, you love me in spite of who doesn't. You love me. And that becomes and can become and should become the most significant thing. Because if you don't allow yourself to get to the place and the posture where you realize that God loves me in spite of what others think and feel about me, I'm discovering who God is causing me to be, who is he evolving me into. None of us can at any given point in time go to bed one night, wake up the next day, and discover fully and totally who we are, because it's a never-ending process. It's a process of development. It's a process of exploring and coming into the reality of who we are. We walk in the confidence of who we are as God's creative persons. So now as God begins to divulge to us one and all why he wants us here, once again, so that he becomes glorified. Let me slow the pace down a bit and bring this into the pot of soup, as it were. Many times what happens in the quandary, in the questioning, in the concerns about who we are, we've often turned to great philosophers and who can help us come to some rationalization of who we are. And so we look to our scholars and our philosophers and we say, okay, how do you see me? Can you identify for me who it is that I am and what my purpose, my aim, my mission, my goal, my objective is in life? And truth be told, all of these scholars, all of these terrific minds have not been able to determine or to give us an adequate rationale, a very clear, precise conception based upon intellect and wisdom as to who we are. It takes God to bring us into that reality. It takes God to identify for us. And that's why it becomes the key component of relationship with Him to identify such with us. Moving on. Now again, we are discovering this is who God has made me. Someone that He can look at and say, that's my creation. And now they're moving according to my will and their way. They've learned by me revealing to them that you now have to seek God for His plans for your life. You have to abort your own objectives, your own goals, your own aspirations. What gets twisted sometimes in the thinking of the average believer is trying to acquire all of these self-help steps. What's going to help me to be better? How can I accomplish my wealth? How can I accomplish my academic aspirations? How can I acquire this and that in life? How can I matriculate up the ladder of success? The best plans of men and mice can not come to fruition. Once again, we must keep ourselves focused upon the fact that I must consult God. God, what's your plan for me? Let's you and I sit down here and we need to have a conversation. You tell me what you have planned for me. You tell me my part in your plans, and I'm going to trust you because, again, you're my creator. So you know what I can and what I cannot do. But if you created me to fulfill your will in this earth, then I must become aware. I say it again. You must become aware of God's furnishings in your life. The thing that I love about God, let me go ahead on and talk it like I feel it. The thing that I love about God is that God can from His word, make all of these demands upon how He wants us to live His life. But then He does not just walk away from us and says, okay, now you fend for yourself. I've told you I want you to do A, B, C, X, Y, and Z. I want you to live a holy life. I want you to live free from sin. I want you to be sanctified. I want you to be set apart for my sacred purpose. Well, God, if you tell me all of that, and now I look within myself, I don't find the resources autonomous or apart from you how to accomplish that. But yet the part that I love about God through His divine grace is that God now furnishes us with His power to get it done. So my purpose now again is now knowing that I can do what God has commanded me to do because He's given me every furnishing, every instrument, everything that I need to accomplish it. And so now I go back to God and I says, okay, but God, I have this plan for my life. So, but God says, no, but this is my plan for your life. So now what do? We come to a place of agreement. I'd rather, God, give in to your plan and let you bless me rather than to create my plans and hope you'll bless them. that's not going to work. I'm not going to be successful. I'm not really going as far as success is concerned. Sure, I may get the $1 million and I may get the nice house and a nice car, but I'm still unfulfilled because, again, it brings me back to the place. It brings us back to the place of really now wondering, what's my real purpose? Is my purpose is to simply be here to make millions and to live good, to eat good, to dress good, to smell good, and all of that? No, there is a greater eternal plan for our lives. Once again, let's keep going back to how all of this needs to be orchestrated and come to a place of comprehension. God, you created me. Good, I get that. But I struggle. I struggle, God, with fully comprehending what my purpose is because the world tells me I ought to be this way and that way. But I need to stay focused. I need to understand you, and you are always understanding of me. So, God, now here we go. I'm coming into a greater sense of clarity. You've created me for your express will and for your express purpose. You want others in the earth to see me and to call me blessed so that I now become an attraction to the lost. I now become a means and a measure to win souls unto you, that they too can partake of this glorious divine life that you've been orchestrated for my life. God, I'm beginning now to feel a tad bit better, as it were, about who I'm discovering that I am. I can sit now with some sense of comfort, some sense of peace, some sense of tranquility within my mind that I don't have to be like everybody else. I can be comfortable in the skin you've created me to exist in. So now I can walk a tad bit better with my head held high, knowing that you have a purpose for little old me. I don't have to get arrogant about it. I don't have to boast about it. I don't have to brag about it. I don't have to sound my own trumpet. But I can just walk in the tranquility, in the peace, in the sanctity of the fact you have a purpose for me. And your purpose for me is that you be glorified in the earth. So let me hasten to a close here by helping us to understand how you go through with purpose. I understand I'm a child of the King. I'm a joint heir to the throne of grace. I don't have to take a back seat to anybody. I don't have to belittle myself. I don't have to measure myself against anyone else. I don't have to take the mental, psychological evaluation of myself that Israel made the drastic mistake of making when they looked at the giants in the land and they then compared themselves to grasshoppers. Versus the giants. I don't have to minimize myself because God has revealed unto me who I am. Yes, mom and daddy may have not wanted me, but God did. Mom and daddy did not plan me, but God orchestrated and created me to be born the time I was born for a purpose, for an aim, for a mission, an objective here in the earth. So I don't have to feel bad because I didn't go to college, because God is my source of intellect. So if God wants me to go to college, then God will make the means and the measures for that to happen. But if not, if I never become udi cum laude, if I never graduate with honors, I'm still significant. I'm still of value. I'm still of worth to God. I don't have to have all of these millions and billions of dollars to feel better about myself because I'm a child of the King. So I walk in the confidence, I walk in the surety that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. So I don't have to let anybody make me feel bad because I don't always have two nickels in my pocket to rub together and call a dime. But I'm a child of the King, and God is not going to suffer me to go without, because that's my Father, and my Father is going to preserve me. He's going to provide for me. He's going to protect me. So I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to allow anyone to make me feel less than what God says that I am. So I look at you, and you can say to me, I'm not this, that, and the other. And so I can immediately dismiss that because God has revealed to me who I really am. I'm a son. I'm a daughter. I love this part where Paul says we were once aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, but now we have citizenship. We now take up our residency. We now take up our dwelling, our abode. We can now declare ourselves, after we've been saved and sanctified and filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost and covered in the blood, now we can declare ourselves as being a son and a daughter of the Most High King. We are now the righteousness of God. How dare you, devil, come and try to tell me I'm not what God says I am. I don't have to live according to anyone else's standards because God has set the standard for me, and then he has enabled me. He's furnishing me with his dunamis, with his power to be able to meet his standard. I don't have to feel substandard. I don't have to feel inferior. I don't have to feel insecure. I don't have to feel less than because God has, God has revealed to me. He reveals it to you individually and to us collectively as to who we are. So now I can get up in the morning and I don't feel like I have to behave like everybody else. I don't have to do what they do. I don't have to drive the cars that the media says I need to drive. I don't have to necessarily live in the mansion the media says I need to live in order to feel good about me. I feel good about me and I'm living in a cold water flat. I feel good about me because even though I'm catching the bus, I have a bus pass, I have a metro train ticket, but I can still feel good about me as it relates to who I know I am in God. These things, these trappings, all of these things that the world seems to offer us, the trick that the enemy tricks us with is that he now says, if you have these things, you're more successful. With or without those things, I'm successful in knowing I'm a child of the King, that I'm a joint heir to the throne of grace. All these other things are wonderful. Sure, we want to live good here, but you can live with them and not still have peace. You can live without them and still obtain peace from God because we understand that stuff doesn't make me happy. God makes me happy. I don't need all of this to feel better about myself. I feel better about myself because I'm walking with my King. He thinks enough of me to allow me to walk beside him. You don't want me to have dinner with you? That's fine and good because me and my Father, we communicate on a daily basis. We commune on a daily basis. He feeds me. He takes care of me when I'm hungry. I don't have to succumb to you. I don't have to bow down to you, Baal. I don't have to feel inferior to you. I don't have to feel like if I don't come to work and kiss your sit-down part in order to maintain my job. No, I'm going to do my job because God's going to give me the strength. He's going to give me the intellect to do my job. So now I don't have to bow down to you. If I'm going to bow down to anybody, I'm going to bow down to the God who has created me. So I'm not going to let you entrap me. I'm not going to let you cause me to feel like I cannot make it if I lose this job. The confidence that I have in God is that he's no shorter than his word. Whatever he said, he's going to bring to pass. So if I lose this job, it's not a loss to me, it's a gain. How is it now become a loss versus a gain? Because if I lose anything and God knows that I need it, he's got something better for me. So I'm not going to bow down to this. I'm not going to let anybody dictate to me how I ought to be. If I'm a little bit overweight, you're not going to dictate to me, Jenny Craig and Weight Watchers and all these other people who are trying to make billions of dollars off of other people. No, God made me. I often tell my wife all the time. I said, "Honey, I said you've been gracious enough and loving enough to me to be married to me for 43 years. When you met me, I was 28 in the waist." As time went on and I ended up with some health challenges and I picked up a tad bit of weight and I jumped up to the point I was 42 in the waist, and then the health challenges changed and God restored my health, and so now I'm back down to where I'm about a 40. And I say, you know what? I'm not impressed. I thank God for all the muscle-bound, sculptured men and all of their biceps and triceps. But, baby, this is what you got. And so she looks at me and she says, "Well, I've been with it for 43 years. I'm not trading it in." So what I'm saying, in essence, is when you discover who you are, you can be comfortable with that reality. And now you can begin to feel better about yourself because now I understand who I am in God. And now when you discover who you are in God and what God has deposited within you, what God has imparted into your life, the strength that he has given you, do you not know you can persevere anything? My purpose in going through it is to develop me. My purpose in going through with it, that I can give glory to God for it. I want to help us. Y'all bear with me here because Evangelist Bernard knows me. My pot gets to boiling and then things kind of just spill over. I want to help us to understand something here.
Right.
As believers, we complain too much. And I think that the complaining comes as a result of our unsurety of who we really are in God. We quote scriptures, and they almost sound cliché-ish, as it were. No weapon that's formed against me shall prosper. It sounds good, but now when the weapon comes against us, we now oftentimes have a tendency to have amnesia. We forget who we are. Okay, so now we want to tell the devil, "Look, you're coming at me," and now you want to get on Facebook and Twitter and all the other social medias. You want to stand up in the midst of your congregations and ask everybody to pray for you because you're going through something. Hey, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. Why then do I count it all joy when I fall into strange things that are happening to me? Because I understand who I am in God. I understand that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So bring it on, devil. You can come if you want to. I'm not going to fold. I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to buckle. I'm not going to run for cover. You're not going to give me a mentality that says that in comparison to the giant in the land, I'm a grasshopper. No, no, even though I may be shorter in stature, but God has equipped me with five smooth stones. Come here, David. Come here, David. David, 12 years old. He's a lad of a boy. He goes out to fight this giant called Goliath, standing 16 feet plus inches tall. And David goes in the confidence of God's power. So no matter how big you look to me, you're not bigger than my God. And guess what? I did not come by myself. I came with the presence of God within me. I came with the presence of God all around me. And God has equipped me with five smooth stones. And I'm going to reach my hand in the bag, and I'm going to bring you down. If anybody's going out in this fight, it ain't going to be me. Because, again, I understand who I am in God. And God is not going to suffer me to be defeated. So let us, as the children of God, let us come into greater clarity about our purpose. Our purpose is for God to be glorified. Do you think God gets glory out of you sitting somewhere feeling sorry for yourself and crying, "Woe is me," because you're going through something? We all are going to be going through something. From the day you got here to the day you leave here, you're going to ensue different challenges in life. But the joy comes in knowing that he is not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. come back here, David. David says, I was once young, but now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. God, how am I going to provide for my children? God says, in order for you to be able to provide for your children, tap into me, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. Come here, word of God, and let me embrace that word. That word says that the cattle on a thousand hills belong to him. The silver and the gold is his. He holds the wealth of the world in the palm of his hand. Because I know that I'm a joint heir to the throne of grace, I don't have to wonder if my keys will fit and give me access. He's already given me the keys. The keys means I have access. It means I have authority. I can come in and out of the kingdom as I so desire. So now when we pray as knowledgeable, purpose-filled, understanding our purpose, that I now can shift. Let me say it again. Shift your prayers. I don't have to pray, Lord, will you do it? I pray, Lord, your will has already been done. I don't have to pray, Lord, will you heal? No, I pray that according to your word, that by your stripes I'm already healed. My child is healed because I have confidence in your word. You've deposited your word in me, and I now activate your word. And so I now see your word become alive because I understand who I am in you. I'm not just a nobody, but I'm a nobody telling somebody about everybody that can save anybody. I am the righteousness of God. I'm a joint heir to the throne of grace. I walk around in the authority that God has given me. I can command that the devil leaves me alone. I don't have to ask God, make the devil leave me alone, because he's given me the earnestness of his spirit. He's given me his power to say to me, Jesse, Evangelist Bernard, you can say to Satan, I rebuke you, and the blood of Jesus be against you, and he will have to flee. I've given you authority to use my name. So at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So I don't have to ask God, will you get rid of cancer? No, you give me the power according and fashioned after the authority of your name. I can say, cancer, I rebuke you, and I send you back to the pits of hell from whence you've come. I can stand now in the mirror and declare myself healed, declare myself well. I don't have to ask God in the sense that we sometimes do. Lord, will you do it? Your word say you will. I ain't quite sure. No. Do away with that foolishness. When you come into the reality of who you are in God, yes, you're going to be misunderstood, because there are those who are going to look at you and say, you're arrogant. Say what you want. When I wasn't arrogant, you call me silly. When I had a little education, now you call me cocky. So it's irrelevant to me what you got to say about me, because you have no earth, you have no heaven, or no hell to put me in. I realize that God is going to be using me to be glorified in the earth. So I count it a joy, I count it a blessed privilege to be classified, to walk with him, to be one of his children, to walk alongside of him, and he walks alongside of me. I realize now I can leap over walls, and I can run through troops and leap over walls. Why? Again, because God is within me. I can take this. God, I feel it here. I can take this. I can handle this. Because the God who's created me says, I know what you can bear. And I'm not going to put any more on you than you can bear. So when my flesh tells me you can't handle it, I now, through my spirit that's within me, tell my flesh, oh, yes, we can, because God's in me. I don't have to. So I can go through it. I can go through it with a greater sense of ease. And even though it's uncomfortable for me, but I can get through it. It's unpalatable to me, meaning my flesh, but I can go through this. I can handle this. Yes, it's rough right now, but I walk in the confidence that God is going to go before me to make easy and successful my way. So my purpose in going through with it is I'm going to praise you while I'm going through it. I'm not going to wait until the thing is over and I come out on the other side of it. I'm going to enter into it knowing that I am already the victor. I'm not the victim here. My circumstance is the victim. I'm the victor. I'm the one that's coming out of this thing like pure gold. When I've been tested and I've been tried, I shall come forth as pure gold. That's what his word has told me. And so God has revealed to me, gone through it. You can handle it because I'm with you. I'm not going to depart from you. It's fascinating to me. I promise y'all it's very fascinating to me when I look back over Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the confidence that they had in their God and understood who they were. They told King Nebuchadnezzar, I'm not going to bow. He says, do you understand the consequences of failing to observe, to do at the sound of the dulcimer and the harp, at the sound of all the instruments, that when you hear those sounds, you have to bow? They said, we will not bow. But do you understand the consequences of not bowing to me, bowing to the powers that be, bowing to society, bowing to all of these demonic forces that come against us? Do you not know the consequences? We will throw you in the fire that's going to be heated seven times hotter than it ought to be. They said, I'm paraphrasing, I'm fantasizing in my mind how their attitude must have been. Go ahead, do what you want to do. Because if our God does not deliver us, he's still able. And so, King, just go on and do what you want to do. And so now they go into the fiery furnace. They go into the furnace of affliction. The problem with many of us is that we don't want to go through nothing. And so when you're not willing to go through it, then how can you expect God to bless you? Because sometimes you got to go through it to get to where the blessing is. You want God to bring you the blessings while you sit somewhere in your lazy boy, somewhere in your comfort place. But now God says, but I want to show you a greater purpose that I have for you. So you got to go through the furnace because I'm going to use you in the furnace. Then I be glorified. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when the king threw them in the furnace, but now when the furnace keepers opened the gate, now they look in because they're knowing the fire's been heated seven times and it hot ought to be. They're going to be burned to a crisp. There's nothing going to be left but ashes. Sometimes people can make you feel like if you don't do what I tell you to do, it's going to be rough for you. It's going to be difficult for you. You're not going to make it. Here's your pink slip. I don't think you're going to make it. I don't think you're going to survive. You've lost your home. You've lost your job. You've lost your car. You've lost all of your financial holdings. So now what are you going to do? I'm going to go through this. I'm going right on through it. I'm going through with it because what I have understood about God and his purpose for me and my relationship, my interactions with him, is that he's never left me. This ain't the first time I've had hit it hard. This is not the first time that pain has racked my body. This is not the first time that I've been a little short in between paychecks. This is not the first time that I've come up against something that I thought I could not handle. But because God showed me who he is in me, I dealt with that. So now from that experience, I have gained strength, power, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding how to ensue this next. And so now when the furnace is now open and the fire keeper, they look in and they're in amazement because they say, now, did we not throw in three? But the fourth one looks like the Son of God. So where do we get encouraged from that is there is no place that God would ever allow us to go through that he's not present. If he's in you and you know that he's in you, God help me here. If you know unequivocally, don't let the enemy trick your mind, because you can't believe nothing Slewfoot Beelzebub, that old dragon, the father of the serpent. You cannot believe nothing that he says. He's been lying ever since he got a start. So don't believe nothing the devil's got to tell you. Devil, you can't make it. Oh, yes, I can. And devil, I'm going to show you I'm going to make it.
All right, all right.
Because I'm going through this thing with a smile on my face. I posted not some time ago that yet sometimes, because we are yet human and we're still being developed, we're still being matured, we're still being perfected in the things of God. Yes, you may cry. Go on in the bathroom. Have yourself a good cry. Wash your face. As the old saints used to say, put a little Vaseline on your face. Brush your hair back. Come on out and tell the world, here I am again. Let's go for it today. Here I am again. I'm still standing. I'm still standing. I don't have to let you see my tears. God don't get no glory in you crying and boohooing and going on and you walking in the church like you half dead. And I need the saints of God to be praying. You are soliciting sympathy. I'm going to say, you may not like me for it, but many times we are soliciting sympathy and empathy. No. Ooh. How is it one minute you're talking about greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, and then the next minute you act like you're bipolar? One minute you got joy, 30 seconds later you ain't got no joy. 11 o'clock service, you got a great testimony. 7:30 service, Sunday night, you ain't got no joy. What happened? You're bipolar. You are spiritually bipolar. You're void. Hear me well. If you delete me off of your Facebook page, so be it. If you don't let me get invited back to speak here again, so be it. But I got your ear now. Stop walking around acting like you're bipolar.
All right, Bishop.
And I think that the reason is because you have not truly, fully comprehended, understood, believed, and had faith in who God says you are. So when that happens, let me throw this in the pot of soup, and I'm going to close. When you show God you don't understand and truly believe what he says, he will show you. He will shift you into a position, into a posture, into a set of circumstances to prove to you that you are who he says you are. It's a learning experience. Don't cry over what you have to learn. Rejoice over it. I'm learning that I can handle this now. I can deal with this. I can make it through this because I've been through the storm. I've been through the rains. So the storms is nothing new. The rains are nothing new. They may, yes, hit you by surprise. But when the storm is brewing, when you're going through it, you take consolation again in your Creator. If he created the storm and created you, which is he going to let come out the victor? You are. Why do you say that? I say that simply because of the fact that God says, I plant my feet on the sea, and I ride on every storm.
All right, ride the storm.
So now, I can go through this. I can deal with it. My flesh says, I don't want to do that. Come on here, flesh. You got to come into line. I'm going to bring you into captivity. You're not going to behave like that. You ain't going to sit here and act like you don't know God. I'm going to teach you who God is. I'm going to show you. We're going to get through this. That's the attitude of the person who finally comes to a place, a posture, a position, confidence as who they are in God. And so you go through this life with your purpose. And let's not confuse purpose with assignment. That's a whole nother ballgame. But the central purpose of us one and all is to represent holiness here in the earth, to represent the God of our salvation here in the earth, that we can demonstrate the power of God here in the earth. Let us go to the New Testament and to the book of Matthew when we talk about the Beatitudes. You are the salt of the earth. My purpose is to preserve your purpose as a believer is to preserve the word of God. How many of us can really attest in this postmodern Christian day church as we have it? Wherein is still the demonstration of the real power of God? I remember, I know I'm going to get ridiculed and get inboxed and emailed for this statement. There was a time in the church had power. You came to church, you were sick, you didn't leave there on your way to the hospital. You left there healed, delivered, and set free. You had issues, you had problems, you had proclivities. But when you came to the altar, the old sainted mothers and the old gray-haired man of God had power. They had connection with God. And then you got delivered on the spot. Now we got 12-step programs and 24 steps and 36 steps, and you still come out none the better. You're constantly relapsing. When God delivers you, you are delivered from that thing, and that thing shall never come upon you ever again in life. God is our salvation. The term salvation, he is our deliverer. He can deliver us out of anything. There is no spot, according to my dear colleague T.L. Barrett, who once said, there is no spot where God is not. He was equating that statement to the omnipresence of God. God is here, there, everywhere, present at the same time. God is in the furnace, outside the furnace, and when you come out of the other end of the furnace, God is still going to be there. So wherever you are, that's where God is. You're not alone, so stop telling yourself, I feel so alone. You're lying to yourself, or you're being lied to by our most common enemy. I'm never alone, never, ever alone. So I'm not going through this thing by myself. Yes, Mama may not be here with me. Daddy may have departed from me and gone. The saints don't want to be bothered with me. Can't find no intercessors, can't find no prayer partners, but I know how to intercede myself. I know how to go to God in prayer for myself. Yes, it would be wonderful to have someone else praying with me. That would make it a tad bit easier. But I still have the right to come boldly before the throne of grace. I don't have to come sashaying. That's an old folks' term. I don't have to come sashaying up before God wondering if I got a right to be here now. He gave me that right when he gave me the keys to the kingdom. When you have been given the keys of the kingdom of God, you can go in as you please. And sometimes you have to go in because you can sit down and talk, God, I don't need none today. I just want to tell you I'm much obliged. I appreciate what you've already done. I just want to tell you thank you. I want to show you how grateful that I am, that now I'm discovering who I am in you and who you are in me, because now I understand by revelation that that it's in you that I live, I move, and have my existence. You are my eternal existence, and I evolve in you. Yes, I'm in this world, but I'm governed by a whole another source and power. I'm a kingdom dweller. I'm just traveling through this barren land. I'm Pentecostal, so I've got four more closes. I'm on my third one now. When I look at, I was sharing with First Lady the other day, we were just having what we call a little fireside chat, and I said, you know, it's amazing to me to know that when the children of Israel finally came out of Egypt, and they were going through the wilderness, it typically was an 11-day journey, a tad bit shorter than that, but the route that God had planned for them, watch this, believers, the route that God had planned for them was strategically navigated for their behalf, because God already knew that there were enemies of Israel in the mountains. And if they would have gone through the valley and got to a certain place in the valley, then the enemies would have swooped down on them and would have destroyed them. But God took them the long way. He took them what I like to classify as the scenic route. Took them 11 days to get around it. And the problem with the most postmodern day believer is we're so instantaneous. We want everything quick, fast, and in a hurry. Don't want to take the long route. We want it to happen right here, right now. But God knows that if he would have took them or allowed them to go through that valley, the enemies would have destroyed them. Now watch this, believers. They'd already come out of captivity. They've already come from under heavy taskmasters. They'd already come through. What I'm trying to point out to us, God knows when you've had enough. God knows when to give you a spa day. God knows when to give you a holiday. God knows when to give you a vacation. God knows when to allow the pressure to ease up on you. Why? Because his word declares he knows just how much we can bear. So if you got to go through it a little longer, go through it. And as you're going through it, praising God, God, you know what lies ahead, so I'm trusting you because you're my creator, and you're not going to let nothing happen to me. You're not through with me yet, so how can this thing destroy me? You're not through with me yet. You're still working on me. You're still molding me, and you're still making me. You're still crafting me into what you would have me to be. So I'm going to sit here on the potter's wheel. And I'm not going to complain because you're altering me, you're changing me, you're fixing me, you're steadily restructuring me because you see that if you don't get this out of me now, it's going to be more difficult down the road because now, in order for me to fulfill your purpose, I've got to come to clarity. I'm going to close, evangelist, I'm going to close. But as I do, I want to say, in my last close, and I promise you this is the last one. Children of God, get to the place where you can be comfortable, abide in the peace, the sanctity of God's dwelling and covering of him identifying for you who you are. I promise you, if I be a man of God, and I know that I am, I promise you, when you become aware of your purpose, you will now feel better about you. It's hard to feel good about yourself when you don't know yourself and you've tried to be someone else. But when you become aware of who God has created you to be, I'm his righteousness. I'm his preserver in the earth.
Yeah.
I'm the source that he illuminates. I become a lighthouse in my community. I become a lighthouse to the world. To those who are lost, I become a light. I become a source to bring them in to the will and the alignment of God's will for their lives. God is using me. I don't have to have a huge platform to preach on. I will preach in my backyard. I don't have to have all of that. I mean, I don't get it with some of these preachers. Here I go messing myself up again. I don't get this. It's a whole bunch of sinners out who've never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you worried about preaching at this conference and that conference and this thingamajou and that thingamajou. Listen, it's enough sinners
out here
that wish that somebody would tell them that there's a better way to live their lives. There's a drug addict that has a purpose. I don't care what you think of them. I don't care why you think or try to determine or judge why they're on drugs. If it had not been for the grace of God, you'd be shooting up yourself. You'd be snorting up yourself. You'd be sitting on a bar stool right now, drunker than a skunk. Let us stop looking down at people. We think that the only people we need to preach to is the people of God. Hey, we just need encouraging.
That's it. Okay? That's it.
Have you an hour service. Encourage the saints 15 minutes. Spend the next 45 minutes canvassing the neighborhood.
Right.
Trying to show someone there's a better way. God has a purpose for your life. God has a plan for your life. And let me introduce you to God, and let me introduce you to the Creator, your Creator. Because if I introduce you to him, then he will in turn introduce you to what his purpose is for your life. So I know that, my dear, threw you away. Your mama abandoned you. She gave you up adoption, and now you're trying to find out who you are and what you're all about. You're a dropout, but that's okay. You're a dropout. God can use a dropout. Yes, you've been incarcerated. That's okay, fine, because God will forgive you for all of that, and God will make your life brand new. So let us, as the men and the women of God, let us understand our purpose. Our purpose ain't to show how prolific we can be. It's not our purpose to show the world what great orators we are and how many ways, means, and measures we can homiletically put together a text, how we can exegesis the text, how we can show our linguistic abilities and how fluent we are in the two major languages with which the Bible is translated, Hebrew and Greek. That's all wonderful. I applaud you, my brothers and sisters. I run with you. I run with you. Amen. I applaud you for that. But yet, to the individual that don't even know Jesus, him you ain't got time for, because now you want to be at the big event because you want everybody to know your name.
Hey.
That's not your purpose. That my brothers and my sisters, I'm here to tell you, in my assignment here in the earth and my new mandate that God has upon my life, that's not your true assignment, not to preach and show others how well you can preach. But let me see how you can live the way you preach.
All right.
Let me
see
how many souls you can bring to Christ. I'm looking forward to the day when my colleagues can call me and say, man, we had 20 to come to the Lord today. We had 30 that went down in his name today. We've seen healings and miracles and signs and wonders being performed. Not talking about how big your churches are and how much money you raise. Those things are fine. Those things are your own selfish, sometimes own agendas and your own plans and all of that. And so that's wonderful. I'm not knocking anybody. Trust me, y'all. Send me your letters if you want. I'm not knocking you. I'm just telling you, like the old folks say, like a T.I. is, just like it is. Let's get back to the real purpose, the purpose of being an instrument, discipling one another. Discipling those who are lost, you learn the way. So now your obligation becomes you must teach someone else the way. This arrogance that we have now, sinners sometimes don't want to come to church because when they sit beside you, you looking at them like, why are you here? You got no business sitting here. No. How the Lord says, by thy loving kindness have I drawn you. Where's the love? So if God has loved us and drawn us to himself, we are obligated to do the same in the earth. So your purpose is to love ye one another. Your purpose is to be a light to someone else. Your purpose is to be an encouragement. Your purpose is to show someone that there's a better way. Show that gangbanger. Show that murderer. Show that rapist. Show that thief. Show that pedophile that God can save you. That God can
Hallelujah.
Turn your life around. That there's a purpose for you. I may not know your purpose. You may not know mine. But there is one distinct purpose that we all must acquiesce to.
Mm-hmm.
All must give rise to, and that we are to represent God here in the earth. I'm gonna close with prayer because I'm feeling something entirely different with God here today, and my heart is bleeding because it disturbs me that somehow we've been twisted in our thinking about what it is that we are to do. It is not to show how great we are. It's to show how great our God is.
How great our God is.
Our God is the great one. Sir, ma'am, you did not get to where you are had it not been for the grace of God. Don't let people, brothers and sister, pass. pastors and bishops and apostles and evangelists, don't let folk put you up on a pedestal. Because the same folks that put you up will snatch you back down. But if God establishes you in the earth, then God is going to be your refuge. He's going to be your strength. He's going to be your backup. He's going to be all that you need. So in closing, Father, I thank you. I praise your holy name for what you have allowed to happen over these ether waves. I thank you, God, for this gracious, loving, anointed woman of God who has given me an opportunity once again to come and to share your word with these, thy people. I pray, God, now, as I did in the onset of the opening, that they that have an ear to hear, let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord says unto the church. Help us to identify individually our own individual purpose here in the earth. Help us to go through this life with a greater sense of joy and consolation and peace. Help us to understand, God, who in fact we really are, that we are not second-class citizens. We are the head and not the tail. We are the lender and not the borrower. We have the victory. We are the overcomers. We are not the ones who are defeated, but we will defeat our enemies. So God, help us to understand. I plead with you. I summon you, God, to release this within the spirit of your people, that we abolish within ourselves a place of insecurity. Make us secure by knowing who we are in you. We feel apprehensive because we're afraid to move forward in you, God, but you have not given us the spirit of fear. So God, right now, in the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit of fear. I bind the spirit of confusion, everything that God would come to exalt itself against your great name. I pray, God, that you bring us one and all that care, read this gospel, that you would bring us to a place of humility. Bring us back to our first love. Help us, God, to dethrone ourselves. Be as John was. He said that he must decrease, that you must increase. Help us, God, to get rid of our egotistical attitudes and thinking that we are more than what we are. Help us, God, to understand that if it had not been for you that was on our side, then Lord, where would we be? Help us to understand, God, that we are light that shines in a dark world, that we are the preservers of your word. Help us to understand even the more, God, that as we walk to and fro, we never know, God, who we're going to come in contact with. We sit beside people in public places and in private places and private dwellings and never having any idea what the next one is going through. Help us to be sensitive one to another. Help us to understand, God, that we can be helpers one to another. Help us to effectuate love. Help us to get rid of the fact that, God, we're going to be selective of who we love. But God, replace that idiom, replace that mindset, God, and help us to understand, God, that we have unconditional love. And it's easy for us to love because you have loved us unconditionally. If you had to look in us and see things that you would love, you would find nothing there to love. But yet you loved us beyond our ourselves and far beyond the scope of who we thought we were, because you knew our end from our beginning, but yet you loved us enough, God, to send your only begotten Son into this world that he may die upon the cross just for us. That makes us special in your eyesight. You sought that much of us, God. I got to thank you. I got to thank you, God, because you did not have to do that. So, God, I don't have time to become egotistical and thinking that I'm more than someone else, because, God, you died and allowed your Son to die just for me. I'm taking it personally, God. You allowed him to die just for me. You have seen me come up the rough side of the mountains. You brought me from a mighty long way, God, when I had heart attacks and strokes and was a cancer victim, God. But yet I can still stand now and declare myself every way with hope. That's been you. That's been your grace. That's been your power. That's been your mercy. That's been your healing that you've demonstrated in my life. So, God, I reach out to those who are still yet under the sound of my voice. God, send your word word to that
Send
mother, that
word,
wondering
Jesus,
how she's going
Father,
to make ends
Jesus.
Meet. Send your word to that
yes,
father,
God.
Daughter, that's not know how he's going to go home and tell his family he's lost his job. You are the way maker. You
God,
are able, God, to
way
make a way for your people. You're not going to abandon us. You're not going to leave us. You're not going to forsake us.
Oh, yeah.
You're not going to cast us afar off. But God, help us. Hold us by thy right hand. Lead us and guide us. Correct
hey.
Us when we're wrong. Chastise us, God. Shape us and mold us and fashion us into all that you would have us to be. Not what we want to be, but you, what you want for us to be. Help us
yes.
to come to a place where we can look you dead in the face and say, not my will, but let thy will be done. God,
your
I release
will.
Healing over these ether waves to that individual, Lord, right now that has trouble on their right side. I command healing to take place in the name of Jesus to identify more clearly who that person is. Your hip all the way down to your ankle swelling has set in, but I denounce it. I curse it right now. I send it back to the pits of hell from whence it come. Oh God, he condenable shatter. Touch, heal, and deliver. Set the captive free. The person that's trapped in their mind and they waver from one moment to the next. They're suffering from depression. I send depression back to the pits of hell, and I declare and I decree peace in that person's mind right now. Regulate that disturbed mind.
God,
thank you for what you have done. We glorify you. I glorify
yes,
you, God, for what you've already done and for what you're going to. I thank you for my granddaughter, Bailey. I thank you, God, for allowing
God,
her to come
Jesus.
Home. I thank you, God, that even though she has a purpose, help me
Jesus.
To live long
Hallelujah.
Enough, God, to help her to fulfill her purpose. Give me long life now, God. My years are mounting up. But I pray, God, that you give me long life, that I can
yes.
help lead her and guide her with the help
yes.
of her parents and interact with them to help to raise her as a God-fearing child. Touch
God
these children
God.
In the land. Touch their hearts. Touch
God
their God. Minds.
Hallelujah.
God, I thank you. I thank you, I praise you, I magnify you, I exalt your holy name. This we do pray. Believing this shall be done, and God will serve a cup to give our name to praise. And all the people of God everywhere shouted hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
God bless your name.
God, what an awesome word.
Jesus, God, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you.
Thank you. Jesus,
been so good
you,
to us. You've been better to us than we have been to ourselves.
Hallelujah.
We thank
Hallelujah.
You. We humble ourselves at your mighty hand.
Yes. God.
Ask you to
yes.
forgive us for our foolishness and for
yes,
our
Lord.
Misconduct and our misgivings. We
hey,
give us for doubting you and not
give
trusting
us, Lord,
you and walking contrary to your word. Restore
Jesus.
Us. To a place that you can be pleased with
oh,
in the
God.
Precious name of Jesus.
Thank
Evangelist,
you.
I'm done. I'm out. God bless you. To your radio audience, I pray for you. You pray for me. God bless you. I love you so much.
Jesus, we bless you.
We will
you.
Talk
Thank
soon.
You.
God bless
Thank you for taking out your time. I tell you, you can't pay for this kind of message. You can't pay for this kind of anointing. Oh, we bless the Lord today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word, God. Ah, thank you, Lord Jesus. Help.
Bless him, bless him, bless him, bless him.
Thank you, Bishop. We appreciate you. Hallelujah.
I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Take care. We will shall talk soon. God bless each and every one of you
God.
Today.
You
God bless.
You
Bye
God.
Now.
Hallelujah, we bless him. We bless God for the man of God. Knowing your purpose, going through with purpose. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I just feel like those of you that's still on the line, we really just need to lift our hands and just give God some praise. Hallelujah. This man have preached and taught. It was a preacherama today. And everything he said is for us to examine ourselves. What is our purpose? Ah, he said it so eloquently. We should be trying to please God and not each other. Ah, pleasing God. Oh, glory. I'm going to go and open up the lines. My heart is full. I think this is Sister Kim. I don't know if this is Sister Kim. We haven't seen you. Is that Sister Kim on the line?
It is like one of my sons.
Sister Kim?
Look up on that
wall,
though, where them six boys are.
Sister Kim? Area code 985. The last four of your number is 7445. God bless you. Amen, amen. If that's Sister Kim, she may be at work. Anyway, we're going to go to area code 910. And the last four of your numbers, 4971. Caller, can you greet us? Okay. Amen. We see Evangelist Joshua on the line. God bless you, Evangelist Joshua.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. How you doing?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Praise the Lord to everybody. Praise the Lord, Evangelist. Lord, have mercy.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, have mercy. I've got to hear that one again. Listen.
Jesus.
Listen.
Jesus.
This was the most timely message that I have heard in a long time.
My.
He brought a message for such a time as this. You preached on that the other day.
Yes.
He brought the message for such a time as this. And I tell you, thank you for having him on. God bless you. I'm continuing to pray for you and for the success of your ministry. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you, Evangelist Joshua. Glad you tuned in today. I tell you, he had a word from the Lord, and he's just so profound when he speak. You know, ain't no hooping and hollering. He just preached the gospel. Simple. Simple word. Amen, amen. Evangelist Cummins, so good to see you. God bless you.
God bless you. I'm telling you, the man had some words of wisdom. Mm-hmm. And it was so anointed, so anointed. And I just hope that the sleeping giants of witnessing will wake up and get out there and start simplicity any way they can to tell them that the Jesus Christ is on his way. Mm-hmm. The Lord is on his way.
Yeah.
And it's just so beautiful. Yeah, God bless you, Evangelist Bernard, and God bless you.
Bless you.
And all of those that are on the radio broadcast today, that it was just a wonderful, wonderful words of wisdom. And so anointed. It was so anointed. Like Evangelist Joshua said, that because the times are so evil and people have no heart, but it's time for the saints of God to get out. Those that have a mind to tell somebody that Jesus can change things. And I know he's able. I know he's still in the healing business, because he said that the old mothers and the gray hair, well, the Bible said, call for the elders of the church, and they did just that, and the Lord raised me up. I got a testimony. And I was thinking, God, that the gifts are still working.
Yeah.
And God bless you all, but I was so glad to tune in today and hear those words of wisdom and to wake up things that sometimes you don't realize. Like you said, Evangelist Bernard, search yourself. But I've been doing what I can do, and I'm still going to use my mouth for the Lord. In Jesus' precious name, God bless you all.
Amen, amen. We're just so happy to see you on, and so thankful that God have given you another chance. Hallelujah. And raised you up.
And I'm back working. That's what happened. I'm back working, too. So
you're
that's
back
why
working. Well, God bless you. Hallelujah.
Yes.
We got work to do. We have
work
to do. We're going to Sister Albertine. God bless you. Amen. Amen, Sister Albertine.
God bless you. sorry, I'm driving. I'm trying to pull over. God bless you, and God bless the man of God. I'm pulling over right now. That word today was really right on time.
Yeah.
About finding out who you are in Christ and, you know, your purpose you have, that God has for you. It really makes you think about who you are and why you're here and what you're predestined for. And it just really made me think about reevaluating my life and, you know, what God has for me and the things that he's destined me for. And I thank God for that message. It was very powerful and very strong. And, you know, it made me just really realize that I need to start focusing on the things that God has been telling me to do for a long time that I haven't been focusing on. I've been just trying to make things ends meet. But the reason why it's not working is because that's not what God has predestined me for. I need to work on and trust him for the things that he destined me for, my films and television shows and things that he have gifted me in, and just trust him, work on that, and trust God so that he can bring those things to fruition. So I thank the man of God for that word, and I thank you, Evangelist Bernard, Sister Ruby, and all the callers. Thank you so much. It was a blessing.
Amen, amen. God bless you. I tell you, it was a word. It was a word. Make sure you tell Sister Cammie, because she loves Bishop Grant. Tell her to please on the archives and listen to that word.
I didn't see her
on the line today, and I know she mentioned how much she loved to hear Bishop Grant. So please let her know, Sister Albertine, that she needs to go back and listen to that message today. That was a word. That was a word.
Heavenly
word. Amen. 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 I don't know if this is Sister Kim, but your line is open. If that's Sister Kim, if you're able to say anything, say something, God bless you. If not, we understand. We're going to have some remarks from Sister Ruby. God bless you. Tomorrow, be sure you all tune in. Minister Michael Lewis will be ministering for us on tomorrow and Friday. Again, we'll have Pastor Hamilton here with us for Provoke Friday. Amen. Sister Ruby, God bless you.
God bless y'all. Praise the Lord. It was just a blessing and an honor that the Jesus Christ would send his holy word from heaven, the Rhema word, into our hearts. I got so much out of it because I'm a witness. I witness out in them sidewalks. But I say, Lord, I'm shut down now because I'm not in no congregation. You know, when you go out there witnessing, the first thing they ask you, you know, a lot of times when you're out there on the cement or wherever your community or area where you're canvassing, they'll ask you, well, what church do you go to? And you say, well, I don't belong to a church. Well, why you want to send me over there? But I'm praying that the Lord lead me to a congregation that's full of miracles in that congregation, where if it's only two or three, they can bring share the word that the lame came in and they were healed in this congregation. Hey, hallelujah! That the blind came in where the Lord has sent me and they can see. That the homeless came in and the Lord applied for them and gave them a job. So I say, Lord, I thank you for the word today.
Hallelujah.
Because for me it's to examine myself. We got to be holy. I said, Lord, help me to be holy, to be right, to be pure, to do your will, because you're not going to live in an unclean temple. Hallelujah. So it's a lot for me, and I just thank the Lord because I love witnessing. The Lord has put it in my spirit, but I'm shut down. I feel like I'm down now because I don't have church home at this point. And I'm saying, Lord, I know you got me in a holding place, but I'm ready to go out and do your will. I'm ready to go out and tell the people that Jesus can save. I'm ready for miracles and signs and wonders in this earth. And most of all, Lord Jesus, I want your saints, your saints, to be the lender and not the borrower. Teach us how to be the lender and not the borrower. Hallelujah. Keep our cups filled and our hearts blessed doing your will and work. So pray my strength and Lord. I'm excited.
Thank
hey,
you,
hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank
hallelujah.
You. Thank you. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
We just bless the Lord today.
Thank
I tell you, that was a rich, rich, powerful word today from Bishop Grant. And we just thank God for him. I tell you, this is about his third or fourth time ministering for us. And if any of you all would like to know those dates, I can get that to you. I tell you, you always have an on-time word. So God bless you all. We love you with the love of God. Lord God, we're asking you to go with us this evening. Lord God, and all those that were on the line and that had to drop, Sister Carter, I saw Evangelist Doris was on the line, and I think somebody else that I wasn't able to see, but we just asking the Lord to continue to bless Sister Kim, Lord God. Thank God for Sister Albertine, Evangelist Cummins, Evangelist Joshua, and we had another caller too was on the line. We asked God to continue to strengthen Bishop Grant. Hallelujah. Continue to strengthen his grandbaby and keep Lord, you just distracted me, Sister Ruth. Keep up Bishop Grant's granddaughter that was premature. We're asking the Lord to continue to strengthen her. And Lord God, we just asking you to continue to strengthen all of the listeners, all of those that's in the chat room. We thank God for Patriot Greg. Thank a measure of faith. And we thank God for guest 2332 that was listening to this message on today. We pray that it has strengthened you. Amen. And tune in tomorrow for another exciting message where we're going to continue this series, Going Through with Purpose. And if you'd like to hear this message again, you can go to our website at www.newdestinyministries.com, or you can listen on blogtalkradio.com. We thank you and we appreciate you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We're going to close out with Trust Me. Is that what you pointed to, Sister Ruth?
Yeah, I did. But
I don't want to talk. Sister Ruby, amen. Amen. By Richard Smallwood. God bless you. Have a Jesus day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Love you all. Be blessed.